Welcome to the Your Mom Has a Blog podcast. I'm Chad Edgington.
And I'm Melissa Edgington.
I just don't feel like you should talk over this beautiful music.
It's so pretty.
This is Worship Lullaby, Lullaby, Volume 1 and 2. How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this?
Okay, I've got this great giveaway going on my blog right now. And this is music that was created by a worship pastor who wanted to make a collection of hymns, both past and present, that you could play in your baby's nursery or in your kid's playroom. And I absolutely love this music. I don't think it's just for kids and babies. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think any environment that you play this music in is going to be calmer and more peaceful and happier.
Yeah. What is it? Is he playing it on a harp or something? What is that? Do you know?
I'm not sure how he did the instrumentation.
We should, maybe he could be a guest on our podcast.
That would be cool.
Tell us about how he plays the harp. I don't know.
That would be really neat. It's not all harp noises. It's different sounds, chimes, and some different things, but it is truly beautiful. So go to my blog and sign up to win one of these CDs, and also you can go to his website and listen to some of the tracks.
And you can buy them there too.
I guarantee you will be hooked, and you'll think of all these people that you want to buy music for. And you can also buy digital downloads there if you're not a CD person.
Worship Lullaby. .com, and the company that puts it out is called Core Sound.
I'll put the link to that giveaway in the notes of this podcast. Yeah. So that you guys can find it.
And then also you can go onto the website. I looked at the worshiplullaby.com website, and they had a place where you can vote for songs that you want to be made into lullabies.
Oh, how fun.
And that's pretty good.
Yeah, and what I love about it is it's got some really old classic hymns. Like it's got Be Thou My Vision and How Great Thou Art and stuff.
That's Well With My Soul.
And then it's also got Oceans and
10,000 Reasons.
Yeah, it's
Holy
just,
Spirit, You're
it's
Welcome
so
Here.
It's so cool.
Yeah, lots of stuff.
These are songs that you'll be singing, you know, in church with your kids in a few years that you can play in the nursery. Mm-hmm. I love that idea.
Love it. Okay, so go there. That's the current contest that's going on the blog right now, is to win a CD of Worship Lullabies. And so you've already got them, right, to send out?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep, they're right here. I can't wait to.
And so there'll be two winners?
Two winners.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Well, how are things going, Melissa? I feel like I haven't really talked to you all day long.
I haven't seen you today. How's life been?
It's been good. Today our association had the senior adult rally. So we have a association of Baptist churches up here in our area in the rolling plains of Texas. And it's called
Is that how you have to say
it's
it?
It's the Rolling Plains of Texas. Yes, welcome to the Rolling Plains of West Texas.
It's so funny. You know, I'm helping direct the junior high one night play, and through the whole play, you know, the kids, you just hear, again. They say again, and I like that, you know, and all this, and you're trying to say, don't, just tone it down a little bit.
Don't talk like that. No, so... I don't know that the Rolling Plains are the, not rolling, that's something else. The Bifork Baptist Association runs from Possum Kingdom Lake, which that's funny just to think of, like if you're not from around here.
Possum Kingdom.
If someone's talking about the Possum Kingdom Lake, so we go down to Possum Kingdom Lake and get you a possum.
So at Possum, it's interesting because at Possum Kingdom Lake, they have a cliff diving competition every year that's sponsored by Red Bull. So it's really cool. Everybody pulls their boats up there and watches the cliff diving.
And then in Alney, they've even had the Red Bull air racing team has come out, and the kids went out and saw them flying around the pylons or whatever they do.
What? When was that?
we were gone, and my parents were here, and they drove out to the airport where AirTractor is, where they also and only make the number one leading agricultural aircraft called the AirTractor. So they went out there. So we have a pretty good-sized airport for a small town because we have a airplane manufacturing plant. So they went out there, and so like Red Bull's really tied into the area. But that back to my story. So from the Possum Kingdom Lake to up I think to even around Childress, maybe even past Childress, is this area. And so we all gathered today at the local Baptist encampment. Well, that's its own thing. So if you're not a Baptist, I'm like throwing down some major Baptist, Southern Baptist cultural terms here. So we all got together at the encampment, which is where the kids have summer camps. And we had the senior adult rally, and it's always so fun. You know, they have funny comedians that are there, and the guy today, his name was Lindy something. I can't remember his last name. Lindy something. He was really funny. Last year, it was Swanee. That's pretty amazing, right?
I wonder how many times we've mentioned Dennis Swanberg.
We had Dennis Swanberg on the podcast.
On this podcast.
Too many. But you know,
because your Swanee impression shows up at odd times.
I just love him. Mama. So we sort of have this love-hate relationship with Swanee, don't we?
There's no hate for Swanee.
No, I'm just saying though, he used to get on our nerves.
Well, we used to watch the cable show.
We used to watch it.
His cable show.
He had a show that would come on one of the Christian stations, and I don't know. I just thought he was cheesy.
But when we saw him in person,
we loved him.
Loved Swanee.
Oh, he was so good. He just touched our hearts. I mean, and how many times can a guy do his Barney Fife? And I'm telling you,
it's so good.
It's really good.
It's like you're standing in there.
And it's Billy.
And he does the
Billy Graham. Yeah, it's really good. He does a good job. Like when I watched him, I just wanted to imitate him. I was like, I just want to be Swanee. I don't know, but the senior adults loved him. Loved him. Ate up everything he said. So, and he knew right how to get him on his side. Like mm-hmm. when he started making fun of contemporary worship. Right off the bat. Do you know what the difference between a hymn and a contemporary worship song is, Melissa?
What?
Well, a hymn says this, the cows are in the corn. But a contemporary worship song says, the cows, 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 R, 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 R. In. The corn, 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 corn. And then the place erupted in applause and screaming and cheering. It was a full-on revolt against every music pastor in the room. And he hooked them in. He had them right in the palm of his hand. And then he launches into Barney Fife or something. And, you know, they're just eating out of his hand every word he says.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Well, anyway, that was good today. Then the music was done by Dennis Neal, who... actually, we sort of have a connection with our pastor at our last church in Wake Village, Scott Nethery, and Dennis Neal used to be on staff together, and Dennis Neal was singing, so we had that. He came and did a revival at our previous church, so it's kind of, you know, it was one of those small world moments, and he's got a terrific voice. So it was really good, great day at the encampment. And then we came back and went to dance, did the dance dad thing. And you directed your one-act play. So we decided that for really the first time we talked all day, we would just sit down and record it so you could listen to it.
Aren't you lucky?
Yeah, you're so lucky. Yeah.
No, I really want to talk about the marriage conference that we just went to at our church this weekend because mm-hmm. I still cannot believe it, how amazing it was. So we had Steve and Debbie Wilson, which their ministry is called Marriage Matters Now. You guys need to look them up and figure out where they're coming next and go and hear them because it's life-changing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. They said so many things. It's one of those things, I think, how I felt that day was, they were saying all these things I needed to hear that I had no idea I needed to hear.
Yeah.
You know?
And it was really good. I have to say, I knew they were going to be good. And my friend Scott Jeffries, who's not the kind of guy that I think would say something's good if it wasn't good, is my college roommate. And he told me they'd come to his church in Inglewood Baptist Church in Grand Prairie. And he said, they're good. And, you know, I thought, well, if he recommends them and says they're good, he even called me to tell me that they should come to our church. You know? Yeah. And so I got them to come to Texarkana, but by the time we were in Texarkana, or the time they were in Texarkana, we'd already left and come to Olney. Yeah. And so then I asked, I said, well, how was the conference in Texarkana? And they said, it was great. You should have some. So probably the number one thing that you deal with as a pastor, you know, there's, as far as people's problems, and, you know, pastors love to talk about how burdened they are and everybody's coming to tell them their problems. And, you know, I think we do deal with, I think we deal with a fair amount of hearing people's opinions. Okay. And I think when someone comes to you and they've got an opinion and maybe their opinion is different than your opinion, you know, that can be irritating, but it's really not that big of a deal. It's not like they're coming to lay a burden on you to tell you that they don't like a particular song or they think that you should use this material instead of this material in Sunday school. But the legitimate problems that, so you deal maybe with some people just talking. And if you're sensitive in the wrong way as a pastor, I think you can start to feel burdened. But when people really do come to you with a problem, with issues that they're having, I would say the majority of those issues that you deal with as a pastor that are legitimate issues people are having where they need prayer, they need to talk, they need counsel, are marital issues. Do you agree?
Yes, I do.
And that's, you know, they come and talk to you and you, that's as far as like where you feel like you're carrying a burden. If someone comes and tells you something about their marriage, you don't need to talk to anybody else about that. And you just sort of deal with, you know, try to give them the counsel that's as good a counsel as you can give them. But that's an area, I think, unless you're a family counselor as a pastor, you don't feel necessarily as qualified as you to give marital counseling as you might if they came in like the other day. Lonnie and a man showed up, I'm forgetting his name right now, showed up in my office and said, what's the firmament? You know, in Genesis, the firmament, which was water in the sky or a big dome that covered the earth, and, you know, however the ancient Hebrews thought about that. And, you know, so you'd rather someone walk into your office and say, hey, I think the earth is flat. Like, it's a lot easier to do. For me, I would rather someone come in and say, hey, I'm completely doubting whether or not I believe in the whole Christian faith than to come in and say, my wife and I are having problems. Because I would much rather address their doubts on spiritual things than, because relationships are so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's so different, and everybody's marriage really, really is different. And you feel, whenever you are living in the same community with people and you're their pastor, it does make it harder to say certain things that maybe if you're the marriage conference speakers, I thought they came in and said a lot of really hard things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, particularly I can think of when they were talking about people who have a temper. Was a temper one of the
irritability?
Irritability. Okay. Well, irritability was, the conference was based on, and this is one that Steve told me that they come in and they sort of do preliminary that, or not preliminary, first they do, I'm trying to think of a big word. This is the one they do initially. Does that have enough syllables? So the initial conference that they do when they go to a place is this one they call Six Mosquitoes. And they said, you know, you go to a house, or you're in a house and there's a mosquito flying around. If you don't kill it, then it's eventually going to bite everybody. And they said, these are the six mosquitoes that seem to bite every marriage. So
except they said mosquitoes.
Mosquito, yeah.
Mosquitoes.
Mosquito. Yeah, so they fit right in the Rolling Plains with their accent.
In the Rolling Plains.
So out here on the Rolling Plains, we have a lot of mosquitoes. But they had identified six of them. And irritability, and she was saying, you know, to the people who have a temper. And they kept saying, hey, temper person. And you go, you know, that's one of those moments at a marriage conference where there's a lot of elbowing going on. That's you, man. And it's funny, I did have people come to me at the break. I could tell you at least one person said, man, I hope my wife is listening to all this. And I said, I hope you're listening to all this, you know?
They specifically said not to listen for someone
else. Yeah, they said, don't listen for someone else. But he kept saying, hey, temper person, hey, you need to grow up. And I thought, oh, you can never say that in your office. Hey, listen here, buddy, you're going to have to grow up.
There's so many times that you wish you could say that.
Yeah. He said, you need to grow up. And then the other thing they said, he said two things. You need to grow up and Jesus is tired of the way you're acting. I was like, wow. So, yeah, but it was, you know, for people in our church listening to this and that were at the conference, that I think I had high expectations. There's for the conference, and then having booked it and committed. You know, what is for a church of our size of, you know, a pretty substantial amount of money to do a conference like this. I mean, you're committing quite a few resources. Is that I had high expectations, but also you feel sort of a responsibility for it to go well. And then, I mean, we were probably, what, like 10 minutes into it, and I looked over and I said, this is going to be good. This is, so, and then once it was started off so well, then all the sort of fear I have whenever we do something like this, like, was this going to work out? Is this going to bomb? You know, all of a sudden I was like, I felt like they were so good that all that pressure was gone and I could just listen and enjoy. And I was thinking, I'm listening to this for me, but I was so pleased with all the people that had come that they were getting to be a part of it too.
Yeah.
And so I think I was, you know, like there was a way I was hearing it as a husband and a father primarily. That was the right way to use that word. And then, like secondarily, I was thinking of it as a pastor. I was happy there, but then there was like another factor, you know, that was probably the biggest deal as I've reflected on it. Cause I really think that day, I think that was a real moment where the Holy Spirit was moving.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And, you know, I've been in meetings I've been a Christian for a long time. I grew up in a church that did, you know, that brought in quality speakers and had big events. So I've been to the big events and seen all this stuff. And yet, very few times in meetings does the Holy Spirit really sort of like fall. And I don't know if you can even say, well, I've been in maybe four or five. I mean, I don't know if I could even go back and identify them. But I would say times where I had that sense that time was flying, but that it was also standing still, has not been that often.
Yeah.
And I always think, like, those Holy Spirit moments, that's how I think of them, is that it seemed like nothing else was going on in the world at that moment because God had my attention.
Right.
And then it also seemed like a day of that or an hour of that could pass and it would have felt like it was just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
This was a 6-hour day that everyone, when it was done, said, I can't believe that was over so fast. That would have been a real slog to try to get through that if that had not, you know, been one of they were talented, but also there was a real anointing there where for that moment, you know, I think it was what they said was great and we were all writing down notes, but it was the Spirit was saying, you know, be sensitive. Like, things have to change. That's really what I felt as I was listening to them, is things have to change. You have to listen.
Right.
So it was I don't know, those moments don't come around very often, and you can't recreate them.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's saying, have them back. I think you have to be careful with the expectations on something like that, because when God doesn't always visit in that way.
Hmm.
You know, most meetings are not like that.
Right.
But we are faithful in those meetings, and then every now and then, it's like, you know, this moment. I don't know.
I want to talk about some of the takeaways that we got from it, mm-hmm. just really quickly. One of the main things, I think the main thing that I came away with was one of the mosquitoes that they talked about was busyness. And I know probably everybody in the room felt this way, but that one just felt like, that was my pet mosquito, mm-hmm. was busyness. I mean, considering how crazy life gets as your kids get older, you know. I mean, it really is true what they say, that as your kids get older, you just get busier and busier.
You become a chauffeur.
But, you know, they told us something that a former pastor of theirs had said to them that is my new... I don't know, my new motto for life.
Your motto?
My motto.
What's your motto?
And it is, invest your life in the people who will cry at your funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And when they said that, it just, I mean, it had to have been the Holy Spirit working, like you said. I mean, it just was like a light bulb came on for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing about blogging and being so involved, you know, in this online world, where you really do get, it's like a little community is created, you know, on the internet, whenever you have a blog, and the same people visit, you know, and people drop in and drop out, you know, it ebbs and flows, but you have people who you get to know them, you know, and they get to know you. And I love that. But I really had to take a step back and just think, as far as writing is concerned, I think maybe I get an overblown sense of the importance of that in relation to the rest of my life, you know? And I don't know, it was a big revelation for me, because I thought, I don't want to give these words to the world, you know, that I think the world needs to hear before I give them to my own children. You know,
or your husband,
or my husband.
I think that's probably,
it put some things into perspective for me.
I'm not a blogger. I am a blogger's spouse, but I think there's probably some, and you can disagree with me. I'm sure you will. But you
as long as you know that I'm going to.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. That when you put something out there, you know, you've revised it, you've edited it, you've edited it.
It's like banana. B-A-N-A-N-A-N-A-N-A.
So you've got it, you know, it's like you put your best self out there, and you do get feedback. A lot of it's positive. I mean, you've had some stinkers get on there and say some rude things, but you can, you know, you know, it kind of goes back to things, where do we get our self-worth, what makes us feel treasured, you know, things like that. And so I'm sure it is your blog is good. I'm not just saying that because I'm on the team, but your blog is good. And, I mean, I've seen the way people say, this is exactly what I needed to hear, you know, and then whenever, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are sharing something you've written, and you know, you could think, well, this is really important. And
right.
And then those other little moments, and it is important, but then those other little moments that we could pass up because, you know, I got to keep this going. I want this to be good. I want, you know, and then there's probably a temptation to get your worth from that,
mm.
instead of in little things or So I think that's a good takeaway.
But yes. I think it, you know, I think probably most of us can relate to that in whatever arena of life that we are, have set up camp, you know, because it's certainly, I mean, they were talking about it in terms of ministry because they mm-hmm. had been in the ministry for so many years.
Yeah.
And, you and know, it's it
saying
just,
we've been at all these different churches and we were serving all these people at these different churches and they had been on several church staffs. So most of those people are not even going to be at their funeral.
Right.
And I'm not going to cry at your funeral. I'm going to be dead. You can cry at my funeral.
Today, Emerald said, Mama, Mimi's going to die before Daddy.
I told her that.
Why'd you tell her that?
She just was confused about who dies first. And I was saying, because she was talking about her, that she would die before me. And I said, well, I'm definitely going to die before you. I mean, hopefully I'll die before you. And she said, really? I said, but yeah, but you'll be old. So I'll probably know your children. And that confused her. And so I said, well, Mimi is still alive. And that's my mom. And she knows my children. And then I said, she said, well, Mimi will die before you. And I said, yeah, Mimi will die before me.
I think it's a unique thing that pastors' kids deal with. They really are confronted with death a lot.
Like this morning when I was, or was that yesterday?
Sickness and death. Like pastors' kids are in hospitals and funeral homes. Like
it's like, can we go to the, across the sky bridge at the hospital? It's like an exciting thing. The hospital in Wichita Falls has a, on the third floor, you can walk across the street, you know, through the sky bridge. Yeah, in the air. And they love going on the sky bridge. It's like how you can bribe them to want to go to the hospital. And then yesterday I came in with a suit on. It was early. And so I was like, must be a fruneral.
Frunial.
Frunial. Must be a fruneral. You just can't say the word, Kitty.
He's gotten better
must
at
be
it.
Must be a fruneral.
Frunial. So anyway, I mean, just take that to heart, all of you mamas and daddies out there, that, you know, it can sometimes feel like what's happening in our home is not the most important thing, but it is. Mm-hmm. It is. And don't neglect it. And don't prioritize other things above that. Make sure that you're ministering to your own kids as much as you're ministering to other people in whatever realm of life that you're in.
Right. So that my big takeaway was that when they mentioned the words, I don't know if that was under the thought life or what, I guess that's what it was.
Yeah.
That we say so many words a minute, but we think 1,300 words a minute and 70% of them are negative. They said they took, I'm yelling, I'm so sorry. Oh, man. That was like a yawn on the mic. Was it painful?
It was kind of rude.
It was rude. I'm sorry. I apologize for falling asleep. Is that lullaby music, man? got me wanting to go to bed. So anyway.
We still got to eat our ice cream after this.
Yeah, we have a ritual. Got to watch some Jimmy Fallon. It's going to be so good. Swanee.
Swanee's back.
All right. So anyway, what really struck me was they had a study that was done, and she didn't say where the study was, but apparently somebody had taken Christian children, you know, that were raised in church, Christian parents, 20 children, and they asked them, what do your parents think of you? And they went around the room, and every child said something negative, that their parents thought negative things about them.
That their parents thought they were annoying.
I'm too loud. I'm too annoying. I'm not. And I thought, well, what would my kids say? What does your daddy think of you? Well, he thinks I don't work very hard in math, that I'm not very smart, that I don't, you know, I don't feed the animals right, that I don't do this, and I don't, because also I'm always getting on to them about what they do wrong. And so after the conference is over, I've been trying to go in and say, you know, you do this well, you've done this well, and I told, you know, I don't know. I'm confessing this to everybody, but I've been trying to do better, and I need to do better with just everybody to give honor where honor is due. And our kids do things. I think we tend as human beings to focus on the negative in our own lives. I think we're so negative in our thought life towards ourselves and I think we can tend to be negative towards other people. And so my real takeaway from that was, you know, be more, more positive, because we've all been in the situation where someone has said something that's just been devastating. And so we had to realize the power of the words, mm-hmm. and how our words are also, you know, so they could either give life or give death. I mean, mm-hmm. they're you can make a huge difference in someone's life just by saying something nice to them. You know, and I wouldn't say go around lying to people. If what someone did is not good, then don't tell them it's good. You know, tell them it's terrible, and you just know they're going to get better. No, but
must be a man thing.
Or maybe don't talk to them at all. Just, you know, act like you didn't see it.
But if
it's good, say, that was great. Good job.
Well, Steve even told a story about how when he was 18 years old, he preached a sermon in his home church. And after it was over, he was standing out there greeting everyone. And one of the men in the church came up to him and shook his hand. And he said, "Have you considered insurance, like as a profession?" Mm-hmm. And so for 20 years or something after that, Steve declined to preach.
Thought he was a bad preacher.
He felt like he was not a good preacher because of what this man said. And years later, he saw that man again and mentioned that comment. And the man said, "Steve, I remember that sermon. It was good. Mm-hmm. I was only joking with you when I went through the line."
Yeah.
And so for all those years, Steve had hung on to those words and let them hold him back as a minister.
And they weren't even true words.
And they weren't even true.
Yeah. And so, you know, what I do about that is, just follow my example. Even if you're a bad preacher, don't let that stop you.
Whatever, you're not a bad preacher.
No, I'm just saying, even if you're not the best preacher. And, you know, my first preaching story was encouraging. You know, the time I went out when I really decided, all right, I'm going to give this a shot. Because I think I'd spoken in front of churches, I'd taught lessons and Sunday school lessons, but like the actual preaching, that's a pretty intimidating thing. Like, what would you say when you got up there? How would you fill up mm-hmm. 30 minutes of time, or 15 if you're Methodist? But like, Bird, man. I should be honest. My sermons are too long, but I'm trying to shorten them. I'm really.
This past Sunday, Chad said, "I've got a short sermon for you guys." And he preached for, what was it, 45 minutes?
I was so embarrassed.
He went 10 minutes over.
I got worked up. Yeah. I was anointed.
Too anointed to be disappointed.
What is the other one?
Too blessed to be depressed.
I thought it was too blessed to be depressed. Too blessed to be stressed. Too anointed to be disappointed. Yeah. Too long-winded to stop preaching. The sound man said someone came up there and offered him $10 to turn everything off at noon.
You should never get up there and say, "I'm going to preach a short sermon." Yeah. That just gets an expectation. You know what
I'm going to do? I'm going to say, "Hey, this is a really long sermon." And then if it comes in a little bit short, everybody's happy.
Why don't you? You don't have to mention the length of it.
Well, it was only 1,000 words, and then I elaborated on a few.
Well, like anyone who listens to this podcast knows that you can talk for 15 minutes straight without even taking a breath. Yeah. So obviously if you're preaching, you can do that for 45 minutes.
But it was good stuff.
Chad has this one friend who always gets on to him after podcasts. He's like, "It's you too talk long. Too much.
Why do you talk so much? Quit stealing her thunder. It's her blog." I know. She needs me, man. But you know what? There was one girl one time on the podcast comment, and she said she loved my voices. Now she knows I'm just ripping off Swanee.
Yeah.
And that really, see, that just shows you the power of words. Every time I sit down at the mic now to do a podcast, I think of that sweet young lady who thinks I'm funny. And it encourages me.
And you're just talking straight to her.
Straight to her. Yeah. I don't know who she is. I don't know what her life is like. I don't know what she's going through right now. But I want her to know that I care about her. And I will do little voices for her all night long.
Hey, did you know that Sawyer told me that one of the second grade teachers came and pulled him out of class and asked him to do his Trump impression. And then several other teachers were called over to hear his Trump impression.
What's his Trump impression?
He says, "We're going to make America great again."
That's all he says?
That's all he says.
"We're going to make America great again." That's all it is?
That's all he says.
We need to give him some more lines.
He's
apparently only got like 2 weeks left to milk that. And then Trump rides off into the sunset. Or outlaws impressions. It'll be one of the two. I don't know. What's your prediction? Well, are we done with the marriage conference? We want to move on?
We can move on.
Wait.
But first, just let me say, look at Stephen W. Wilson's website, Marriage mm-hmm. Matters Now. Find out where they're going to be. And go there. If you live in Texas, they have dates all over Texas in the next mm-hmm. few months. But they travel all over the United States. Go mm-hmm. and find them and
yeah, they're good.
Listen to them.
And they're going to be at my home church, the First Baptist Church of Euless, coming up. So that'll be on their Marriage Matters Now website. So if you're a Metroplexer, you can get up there. So on the election, I don't know, will we have a podcast before Election Day? Should we have an election night podcast to go over returns? I don't know. But, you know, life gets busy.
That doesn't seem that exciting.
I don't know. This is a pretty exciting election. But anyway, I don't know if we've already talked about it.
No, I mean for them to sit here and listen to us talk about it while it's happening.
Oh, yeah.
They would probably rather listen to the people on TV.
But no, I'm just saying we could jump on here and say, "Hey, that was surprising." Or, "I knew that was going to happen." Yeah. Or we could just get Sawyer to do his impression.
Yeah.
"I'm sorry, y'all. I lost." So
I think he says y'all.
Yeah. I bet he wouldn't say y'all, would he? No. "You guys's." I want to tell you, I know it's broken you guys's hearts. I think that's what New York people say. So I don't know what's going to happen on this election. I'm wondering, when I say I don't know what's going to happen this election, I mean I'm seriously wondering what will happen when I go into the voting booth.
That's what I was about to say. I don't know what's going to happen in the voting booth.
I'm not deciding it.
I was in the building where early voting is today, and I thought I should go vote, but no, I'm not going to because I don't know what to do.
I'm going
to
just be in the moment.
You're just going to let the spirit
lead. Election day, I'm going to go get in line, and I'm going to try to find out when peak line time is, and I'm going to wait in the longest line.
And by the time you get up there, it'll have come to you.
Well, when I get into the booth, I'm going to stay in there for an hour.
And they'll be going, sir, do you need help?
Excuse me. Are you having trouble with the dial wheel? We have those machines that look like they should be touchscreen, but they operate with a dial. It's kind of like my truck. You know, the kids are always trying to touch the screen.
Yeah.
It's not a touchscreen, but the minivan is a touchscreen. Stow and go, but it's got stow and go. And
you know what happened with my stow and go this week? So I was dropping the kids off. I mean, I was dropping some kids off that I pick up after school, and
Carpool.
Right around the corner from their house, there was this fantastic solid wood old door with old hardware on it and everything on the curb. And do you think I had to pass it by because I was in a little sedan? Heck no. I pulled over and put down my stow and go seats and put that big door in my minivan.
She stowed them seats.
I stowed it
she
and
stowed
I goaded
it. And goaded it. And then the kids were impressed that you left a note on the people's door. I was like, if I've inadvertently stolen your door, this is my address.
I was afraid because I tried to knock on the door, and they had a note on their front door that said, "Please knock loudly." And so I was banging on their front door, and they never answered. So I left a note that said, "I took your door, and if you didn't intend to give it away,
what would that door?
Call.
It's a little door. What would it have gone to?
I think it was a closet door.
Remember whenever we were going to do this podcast, and I was like, "Let's do a short one."
Yeah, it's 40 just like minutes. It's just like your sermons.
And wildly entertaining,
listen,
but over drawn
out.
Are you
telling me that I should not have talked too much on this podcast?
I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying it happens.
So anyway,
somebody's enjoying it.
Where were we? We were talking about the election.
I'm gonna say all I want to say is when I sit here and I see that these podcasts have gone for 30 minutes or 40 minutes or an hour.
They've never gone for an hour.
I think the only guy that really loves them, maybe not the only person, but Ed Wood listens to the whole thing. Thanks, Ed.
Thank you, Ed. We love you.
You're the best Edgington supporter in the universe.
And Zach Hall listens too.
And Zach Hall and some dude on his commute and a truck driver. All these guys. Shout out.
There's people.
And that one girl likes my voices. Whoever you are.
There's people. They listen.
There's people. I know.
I don't know why they listen.
It's crazy. And then like 200 people download it. It's like, really? Like, there's not even that many people in my church normally.
Hey, they're just dying to know.
Start preaching on here. Yeah.
They're dying to know our every boring thought that we have.
So I'm going to go in that booth. And, you know, no one can make you leave the voting booth. You can stay in there as long as you want.
But why do you want to stay in there for an hour?
I don't know. I just want to live in the moment. Just want to see what happens. I want to really think about it. And then I'm going to make my decision. So my theory about, I have a theory that I might vote for Trump.
Oh, really? That's your theory?
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm really, like, he's got 2 weeks left to try to earn the vote. But, you know, I read everything that people write, all these different opinions. And my theory on it is that there's some shame I feel that if I voted for Trump, I don't know if I feel shame that's like social pressure shame or the fact that he's such a scoundrel. But yet some people will vote for Hillary Clinton. They're all scoundrels. So there's some kind of learned shame that we have where we would say it's okay to vote for this scoundrel, but not for this scoundrel, you know, but they're both. Or at least maybe they're scoundrels in different ways.
This whole election has been, I know I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as he is. Or I'm not as bad as
you. That's what
she
everyone
is.
Said. You know, what about this? What about the Supreme Court and all the? I know there's all these things to consider. So I'm really curious to see what I'll wind up doing.
Me too. It's going to be a surprise.
It will be a surprise. So here's what I think. I think there's a lot of people like me that if you said, are you going to vote for Trump? They want to say no.
See, I think your theory, I think it's right because I think that people are going to tend to vote with their party regardless when they get in there.
And when I hear that 91% of the coverage of Trump is negative, you know, and it's not negative on Clinton. And I think, you know, I'm right there. I don't know if you've read the Michael Moore piece or there's something floating around with Michael Moore speaking. Have you heard it?
No.
The language is, I would just caution you, there's language. He uses the F word maybe 4 times. And it's Michael Moore talking about why Donald Trump is going to win. And it's basically, you know, going to be people going in there that are angry at the system. And the enemy of my enemy is my friend. They're mad at the media. They're mad at the system, mad at the politicians, you know, mad at the institutions, mad at the corporations that are ruining their lives. You know, with their policies. And, you know, I think there will be big surprises. I think there'll be people, big surprises on election day. We're going to be blown away. It's going to be amazing. You're going to be so tired of hearing about Donald Trump's landslide. No, I don't think it'll be a landslide, but I think he can win. I think if he wins Pennsylvania and Florida and Ohio, then it's over. I think he wins.
I'm truly, truly just ready for it to be over.
Yeah, I think I am too. But I think everyone's tired of that and being kind of, I think there's this sense where people say, you know what, when I shut that curtain behind me, which I don't know if ours have curtains, but I don't think anyone can see what you're doing. When they're going to say, you know what, I think what the Michael Moore piece says, you know, I just want to, he calls it the Jesse Ventura effect, where the people of Minnesota elected a professional wrestler to be the governor, you know, back in the 90s or 2000s. They did it. Why? Because they wanted to see what happened if they elected the wrestler to be, and he was probably not a very good governor, but they wanted to shake up the system and just be different.
So let's do this. On election day, we'll come home. And we'll count to 3, and then we'll each say who we ended up voting for.
We can do that. But and what I'm saying though is, if someone says, "Did you vote for Donald Trump?" I was like, he may actually win a landslide victory, and then the next day you won't be able to find anyone that voted for him.
Or suddenly everyone will think that voting is a very private matter. And
yeah, you know, I just, yeah, I had a what was the class you took in high school? It wasn't civil procedure. That's law school. I took Civ Pro. Yeah, I was in Civ Pro my junior year. It's crazy, man.
It's, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. What is it?
Talked about joinder. I'm just kidding. That's a Civ Pro joke.
I never get your law school jokes. When Chad was in law school, they would stand around and he'd be laugh like, collateral and estoppel. And laugh.
Did you pass that a stop sign?
And all the wives and husbands like, oh, were just standing there looking at each other.
Yeah, what's wrong with these people?
These guys are total dorks.
Yeah.
What
was the name of that though? That class? It's like government class. And she this teacher, she was very wacky. I don't remember her name. I hope she's not listening. But she would have this policy where she would not disclose for whom she voted until 20 years later. So we were like backing up. She was an older woman. So we were like, well, did you vote for Nixon? She was like, I don't remember what she said, but you know, she was like, yes or no. She'd be on those old elections.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that was her policy. She would not disclose.
Maybe that will be everyone's policy after this election.
Yeah, I don't.
I'll tell you in 20 years.
Yeah, I don't say for 20. I seal that. It's like the Warren Commission. Yeah. So anyway, well, we'll see what happens. Well, one thing I know is that on November 8th, Jesus will still be the king.
That's right.
Yeah, Jesus will still be the king. So that's what I wanted to say.
Amen.
I really want to sing that Oak Ridge Boy song. When King Jesus comes to some... I don't remember the words.
Oh, that was really good.
It's an awesome song.
That added a lot to the podcast.
Just go to YouTube and Google Oak Ridge Boys King Jesus. Just watch them all jumping around in their leisure suits singing that. It's inspiring. All right. Well, this has been a good podcast.
Don't forget to go to the blog and enter the giveaway for Worship Lullaby, and go visit the website and listen to some of his music. You're going to love it, and you need to buy a bunch of those CDs for Christmas presents. It would be perfect.
And don't forget to vote for Jesus. Bye.
See you later. Thanks, y'all.
When King Jesus comes to live with us again, he will show his righteous love to every man. Wars and strife will all be past. There'll be peace on earth at last. When King Jesus comes to live with us again. There'll be no sounds of crying in the ghetto. For all grief and pain and death shall pass away. When King